Hey everyone, today the sermon comes from the kitchen table, and we're going to look at Luke chapter 2 when Mary and Joseph bring Jesus into the temple, all doing the things according to the law. So we're going to take a look at that. Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 22, and I'm going to read through verse 27. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law. And then I'll read verse 28. For he took him up in his arms. So Simeon took Jesus up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. In this reading, we tend to focus on Simeon. In fact, the cover of our bulletin in church today had Simeon and a baby, Jesus, on the cover. And rather than focus so much on Simeon, I will mention him, but I want to talk about Mary and Joseph, because it's surprising to me, it's interesting to me that Mary and Joseph are so described as following the law. Not that that surprises me again. I think, you know, most people in Jesus' time probably tried their best to follow the laws that were in place. And I'm sure some of them were really good at it and others not so much, just like today. But throughout this text, it is so law heavy that we need to pay attention to it. And not law heavy in the sense of showing us our sin, as we sometimes say that that's what the law does, which it does. But this is law heavy in the case that everything that Mary and Joseph do is according to the law. So even at the very beginning, it says, you know, it was time for their purification, meaning it was after childbirth, and the time had passed for them to come to the temple and be deemed clean again. And so it says when the time for their purification came, according to the law of Moses, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem. So for Mary in particular, it was time for her to be declared clean again after having given birth. And so now she could come to the temple and get that according to the law of Moses. So they knew how much time had passed, and they knew that according to the law, this is what was done. And they bring Jesus up to present him in the temple, because that's according to the law. The first child, the first male child, this is what you do. You bring him to the temple and you present him as holy to God, and or set aside, something special. And not only do they do that, but they bring a sacrifice according to the law. So they're doing everything according to the law of Moses, according to the law of the Lord, the Ten Commandments and Jewish ceremonial law and civil law and all of that. They were law-abiding citizens, righteous and devout, meaning they knew the law, they did the law, they followed the law. And not in a way, it doesn't seem that they're feeling oppressed by it. It simply is what you did. That's what you do. You follow the law. As a good Jewish person at the time, that's what you do. You follow the law. And, you know, God works out the rest sort of thing. And so here, they follow the law. Now, we don't often hear about that for Joseph and Mary, that they're law-abiding people. And yet, here they are, described as law-abiding. And Simeon, too, is described as righteous and devout, meaning he followed the law. He did the law. He knew the law, and he followed it. So he was righteous and devout. So sometimes we get a little hung up or a little too focused on the lineage of Jesus when we realize all of the mess-ups that were in his lineage. And so we look at, you know, Rahab the prostitute and David the adulterer and murderer. And we focus on these people who, you know, are the exceptions, important exceptions, but exceptions. The majority of people, I would say, in Jesus' lineage were probably described, could be described as righteous and devout, that they were law-following, law-abiding people. Nothing to be special about it. That's just what you did. So sometimes I think we look at that list and we say, well, see, God uses, you know, mess ups, so I'm okay being a mess up. And, you know, like Rahab's the prostitute, David's the adulterer and murderer, so if I sin, then it's no big deal because God uses all sorts of people. And I think that's a cop-out. I think it's a cop-out because then we admit that we don't even have to try. Or we think that we don't even have to try. We don't have to try to be good citizens. We don't have to try to be good people because we know there's no good people, everyone's a sinner, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, quite frankly, I think that's a weak position. Again, it's not something that righteous, devout people would look at and say, well, yes, I can be a sinner and that's okay. Mary and Joseph weren't. In that sense, they followed the law. Not to say that they were perfect or sinless, because nobody was but Jesus, but they're described by Luke as righteous and devout. Simeon, righteous and devout. All throughout Scripture, there are people who are described as righteous and devout, and that's a good thing. That's something to be held up in esteem, lauded and celebrated, and imitated. I know that's hard, but we should, and I hate using that word in a sermon, we should be trying to be righteous and devout people. We should be trying to follow the laws that God has set up for the way his creation works. And a lot of times I think we sort of flaunt the idea that we're sinful people. I know I have said, well, you know, God uses all sorts of people so he can use the mess up that I am. And on one level, that's absolutely true. You know, he uses all kinds of people, but he also uses righteous and devout people to accomplish his purposes. And so let's look at that again. Let's see that again, that God doesn't want us to be screw-ups. He doesn't want us to be mess-ups. He doesn't want us to claim as our patron saint the worst of the worst. That's not what it's about. Having known that, or knowing that now, we see Mary and Joseph and Simeon in this scripture, righteous and devout people, following the law, yet carrying with them the purest gospel you could carry, the Word incarnate. And in fact, Jesus is the purest expression of the law, too. He is the purest expression of the entire word, law and gospel. So Jesus is raised by devout parents, righteous parents, who do the things that the law says to do. And Jesus himself, not only does he know the law, he knows it better than anyone else because he is the law. He is a righteous and devout person. He goes to synagogue. He learns, you know, all of the things he's supposed to learn. In fact, our next reading next week has him in the temple where he's sort of teaching the teachers. You know, he knows things because he wrote the book, literally. So Mary and Joseph, as righteous and devout as they are, they carry with them the purest gospel. The purest sense of forgiveness and grace and mercy, the purest sense of God with us, the purest sense of all of those things, that's Jesus. We carry that with us too. As we try to be righteous and devout, as we try to reconcile our sinfulness and our purity in Christ and all of those things that just don't make any sense to us, we carry with us the purest form of the gospel, the presence of Christ, the Holy Spirit in us. That's who we carry wherever we go and whatever we do, whether we're being righteous or not so righteous, we carry Jesus with us. So I want you to hear that today too, that you carry Jesus with you. in your baptism, through the word, Jesus is with you, not just by your side as a good friend, not just as a faithful companion. He is with you in the sense that he's part of you, or maybe better, you are part of him. You are part of his body, part of his body in its expression in the church, as he is as much a part of you. And that can be scary because we know we are far from righteous and devout as we should be. But in that same sense, Jesus is with us in forgiveness and grace. He's with us in spirit in order to encourage us and empower us to be doers of the law, not just speakers of the law, but doers of the law, that we carry out all of the things that God has given us to do. And most importantly is that we share Jesus with other people, that we share the message of Christ that is in our hearts with others. And then we go about doing the things that God has called us to do where he's called us to do them. So if that means helping out the homeless, feeding them or giving them clothes or sitting and talking to them and listening to their stories, or maybe it's going to visit people in prison or in a hospital. I know some of those things are harder today to do than in the past, but that doesn't mean that they're impossible. That there are so many different things that we can do as Christians, as devout and righteous Christians in Christ. We can share him with others. And it's Christmas time. It's easier to do that now than it is at any other point when we say, you know, Jesus is the reason for the season. Well, yeah, that's absolutely true. And it's okay to say that, as, you know, as cliche as that sounds, that's what we can do. We share Jesus even in simple ways like that. So go out and share Jesus with others in whatever way you can, through words, in actions, in helping, in listening, in sharing, in any of those ways. Go and do it as righteous and devout Christians in the presence of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.